struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Welcome everybody to the show today. I have Elizabeth Pampalone from Absolute Marketing on here today with me. How are you doing, Elizabeth?
I'm doing great.
We had a little mix up this morning because I'm running all over town. We made it in time and we decided to go ahead and go with the podcast. And why not? Here we are. Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about Absolute Marketing.
Well, it is a 5-day system that allows me to help a client to create all of their marketing for 1 year in just 5 days.
Look, you're not allowed to have such a succinct message that you can deliver in one night line. You're supposed to fumble through and give me time to drink my coffee. Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
Usually, but you've never met anybody like me.
I haven't, and I'm very happy to have met you this morning. I'm really excited to talk to you because your 5-day system is also really a 5-pillar system, and you do everything with organic growth. Is that right?
That's right. Yep. We start with branding on day one. Website is day two. Social media, day three. Blogging is day four, and email marketing is day five.
It is just that simple.
It is.
I love it. So what do you do? I mean, these are great words like branding, website, social media, blogging, email marketing. But what does that look like? You sit down with a small business or a nonprofit, and what does this system look like? What do we do for Monday for like branding day? What does that mean?
All right. Well, if we were to sit down with a client right now, Monday morning, let's just say get started with branding. We're going to look at the name of the company. If they're an existing company, sometimes I work with businesses that are 10 years old and they're just at this place where maybe their name or their branding they've outgrown it. They've moved past where they started. And now they're like wanting that tweak, that adjustment. Maybe it's just a color change. Maybe it's just a logo refresh, but we need to sit down and figure out what that is. Maybe it's a name change even. And we'll sit down together and we'll actually go through the psychology of color. We'll do some branding naming exercises and make sure that the name they have is the one they should stick with. We'll also go through the font psychology because there's such a thing as the psychology of fonts, which is weird, but it's there. And we'll also go through what that true message is. So just like I gave my really succinct one-liner, I help my clients to create that so that when they need to tell someone about their business, they have literally one sentence to do it in and they can just say it and it makes so much sense and really resonates with their audience. We also talk about their audience because that's the first piece of branding. Who are we talking to? We really go through three main questions when we do branding day. We talk about who are you? Why are you doing this? That's kind of question one. What do you do? And who are you sharing it with? So once we get through all three of those pieces, we're able to come up with a great logo, a great color, great color scheme. And then now we actually have a little time left over, believe it or not, in an 8-hour day. We have a little time left over. We actually build an ebook, which will be for their opt-in that we'll give away on their website from day two.
All of that in one day?
That's a 1 8-hour day.
I love it. I know that I've worked on my branding a little bit and for the website, it's or for the podcast, it's helping you build a stronger nonprofit. Then when you look at my website that I'm building right now for my consulting services is helping you get your next $30,000 in donations. It's real clean, clear, crisp, succinct. I know what it is that I do and it's very easy to understand that from that one liner. I love this ebook for the opt-in. I know this is a tactic that's been going around for quite a while, offering a freebie for an opt-in to get an email address, and then you can follow it with email marketing, which is your fifth pillar. So I'm not going to jump ahead there, but what do you put in an ebook that's going to help grab someone where they're going to want to say yes and sign up and get on that email list?
That is a great question. I've actually worked with everything from service-based businesses to nonprofits all the way to product-based businesses. And each of them has done something different. So I'll give you some examples. With one of our nonprofits, we actually created a one sheet that was all the facts and figures and statistics that they wanted to share with their audience, that their audience could share with their friends. And so it was something that the this person who wanted to share this message, they could download it, print it out, and they could actually take it with them to their next luncheon, next women's event, whatever that is. And they could say, here are the facts and figures, and not have to think, I remember there was something about 50% of women don't have something, and they didn't know what the number was. They had this one sheet, very succinct, very clear, big numbers, very pretty to look at, and they could just print it out and they could give it to their friends. They could print it out and mail it with their Christmas cards, you know, whatever they wanted to do. They could give it away very easily. And it was something they could print at home, which is great. So that was something we did for our nonprofits. Another thing that we did for our product-based businesses, I have two sauce guys in my portfolio. And one makes a dattle sauce and one makes a spaghetti sauce. So what we ended up doing for them was creating like a recipe magazine where we talk about the history of the pepper or how tomato sauce came to be and like in existence in the world. And we talk about all these different things, but then we also put in family recipes. Sometimes one of the guys, he's like, I don't even know what recipes I would do. And I said, well, what can we do with your sauce? And we just literally sat there and brainstormed about all these great food things we could do with this sauce. And he goes, oh, you know what we did one time? We did this. And I was like, that sounds like a great recipe. And we typed it up and we put it in the book and everybody loved it because it was all these ideas, things he'd already done, things we just thought up on the spot that would probably be good. And we just made this ebook really, really quickly. And he was so proud of it. And we put in family photos and pictures of them making sauce in the kitchen and all kinds of stuff. So those are the kinds of things that I usually work with. And then with service-based businesses, coaches and consultants, we do things like workbooks or here's a sheet that's going to tell you what your financial situation looks like, or here's a sheet that is going to help you to build your brand or whatever that is. So we kind of use different things for different people, but those are just some of the examples of different ebooks that I've built in the past.
That's awesome. And for someone like nonprofits that have whatever their mission is, you can put a couple of facts about their mission and then what that they are doing to then help. I'm military, right? So attack the mission, right? What you're attacking as a nonprofit. I mean, hopefully, I don't know what every nonprofit does, but hopefully that's not what you're doing. But you can, you have the what's the problem, the why, you know, why you're doing it, what the problem is, and how you're accomplishing the mission all on one sheet. And that's super helpful. And I imagine it clears up room on the website. So you're not just bogged down with all this stuff.
Yeah, we put the same stuff on the website, but a lot of times, you know, we found that for certain demographics, having something you can just print and hold in your hand and take to your friend's house or show someone when they come over, you know, those kind of things, it's going to be that tangible piece. And then, oh, what was that website again? Or I can't remember the name, you know, something like that where you're not really, maybe you don't have your phone or your phone dies or whatever, and you're at the party or whatever, and you have this thing in your hand you can physically hand out, or you can give it away to people. You could print 10, keep them in your car. I mean, I do stuff like that all the time. I have this one book that I use for like a teaching tool, and I keep like 10 of them in my car just in case.
What's that book?
It is actually Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. He is my hero.
That's one of my faves. I used that when I was doing personal finance coaching over the last 10 years. I helped 400 families pay off $6 million in debt. And towards the end of it, I was getting into small business, and Profit First is exactly what you have to do if you're going to make any kind of profit, because you always find something to spend it on. But if you're not paying yourself and having your business pay your taxes, you're doing it wrong. So I love the book by
Yeah, this book is amazing. And I actually, when people tell me that they can't afford my services, I go to my car or I go to my bookshelf and I pull one of my 12 copies and I just hand it to them. And it's my $11 investment in their business. And I say, this is my investment in your business. Read this book and come back in 3 months. And most of them do.
That's awesome. I'm glad that they do that. It's such a thing in a nonprofit world. I call it martyr syndrome, where if you're not, you know, doing everything yourself and, you know, moving your mission forward all on your lonesome, and it's not painful while you're doing it, then are you really accomplishing your mission? And it makes me feel, you know, sad on the inside, because it doesn't have to be painful. You can have a team. You can bring in consultants like Elizabeth or myself and help you get to that next level, because you can't get to that next level without your friends giving you the information, you getting the new experiences, reading, listening to audiobooks, or, you know, maybe there's a good podcast to recommend. I don't know, like The Nonprofit Architect, or bringing in someone that has the knowledge, skills, and abilities to help you get to that next level. What do you do on day two? You spent day one on branding for 8 hours. What do you do on a website? I'm sure you can do the opt-in form.
We do put the opt-in form on there, but most businesses, whether they have a website or not, they probably don't have the right one. And it's probably not working for them. They might not even be able to edit it. It might be too costly. Whatever the reason is, we will actually usually start over with the website. And we'll build an entire website from scratch on day two. And we will start with the site map and really looking at what pages need to be there, what information needs to be on the site. And what we do is we work in tandem. So while someone is the person who I'm working with, while they're building and writing their bio, let's say they already have their headshot, or maybe we need to take one that day, who knows? So they have their headshot and they're writing their bio. I'm building the about page. And so if you've ever worked with a web designer before, there's a lot of back and forth. They'll build something, they'll show it to you, then you'll say, I don't like it, or I want this different. Then they'll go back and they'll fix it. And then there's back and forth, back and forth. This could take weeks, if not months, if not up to years. I've heard people work on websites for 4 years, which I thought was totally insane. But it basically eliminates all that back and forth. So we work in tandem, and they'll write something and I'll build the page. They'll write something, I'll build the page. Some people will say, well, I'm not a good writer and I don't want to write all these things. Can't you just write it for me? Well, the problem is I'm not your brain. I don't have your brain. And you're the one who knows the most about your business. You know the most about yourself. And so what I do is I'm there to guide. I'm there to coach. If they say, I don't know what to write in my bio, I don't know how to write a bio, I'm going to give you prompts. I'm going to be working away over here, and you're going to be sitting across from me or on Zoom or whatever, and you're going to be, here, I'm going to give you I want you to write 3 sentences about this. Okay, I think I can do that. So then they start writing. And I'm over here working away, building the page. And then they say, okay, I'm done with that. Now what do I do? Okay, now I want you to write 3 sentences about this. Okay, I can do that. I'm working away. And so then once we're done, we put everything together. And then I show them the page. And they're like, oh, that looks great. Or can we tweak this? Or can we change that? Da, 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 done. And then we move on to the next page. And we do this until all the pages are created. And we put that opt-in in. And then we're done with the website. And it takes about 8 hours.
For nonprofits, as far as I understand it, every website should be built with the goal of accomplishing something. When someone goes there, you want them to do a thing. What kind of thing would you recommend nonprofits build their website towards?
Get donations.
So the whole website is going to be designed to get people onto the donation page and click that button.
Yes. And the mission will be presented first, and it'll be explained. But the end result is to get a donation, to get someone to donate time, donate money, donate whatever goods you might need. If you're that type of an organization, if you need canned goods, if you need diapers, if you need whatever that is, you know, those are the three main things, to have those donations be coming into you. And then once people buy into the mission, then the ambassadorship can continue with email marketing and blogging, and by actually reaching back out to people and connecting with them through social media. That's when you begin that ambassadorship that says, hey, you gave us money once, you believed in us at one point, now what are you going to do to help us get the word out so we can have more people believe in this mission and help it grow bigger?
Do you have nonprofits that have stores that have things available to buy on their website?
I have in the past, yeah. Sometimes, you know, they have things, sometimes they don't. But, you know, t-shirts, hats, you know, different things like that. Depending on the type of nonprofit, I work with a clinic. And they have services. So sometimes if you need a flu shot or something, they have those kind of things. And you can go in and get those and pay for those things. But you can purchase items or whatever. And you can also do, like, I have some nonprofits that are like churches, and they have CDs and books and things like that. And so they sell those as well. So yeah, you can have e-commerce, you can do donations. So there's lots of different options for ways people can, you know, receive income through a nonprofit.
I'm only bringing this up not because I don't know that things can be sold on a nonprofit website, but it turns out a ton of people that I talk to that are nonprofits don't know that they can sell things. And I wanted someone else to say it before I ran out of breath of saying, yes, you can absolutely sell things. That's perfectly okay.
You can sell tickets. You can sell gala. I mean, people sell gala tickets all the time, virtual gala tickets. That's a huge thing. And I even had someone recently, they were going to do an actual fundraiser and in person, and they weren't able to. And so they called it, it was Beer for Life In, like Night In. And instead of coming and paying your $25, they said, you get to buy your own beer, whatever you want. You get to sit at home, because it was during COVID, during all the lockdown. And they said, you'll donate $25 and that will go to our thing. You'll join our Zoom on this night at this time. You'll have your beer, and everyone will kind of get together and have fun and network a little bit and talk. So it was something they were going to do in person, but they ended up doing online, and they still had this. They still sold their tickets and they still got the donations coming in.
I love this out of the box thinking that COVID is forcing people to do, understanding now that you can get a job, your dream job in New York City, and get the paycheck, but, you know, live in Kansas and have the lower cost of living and still be able to do everything you need to do, or fundraise virtually, or virtual 5Ks and all sorts of fun things that I see going online. Just loving that. So we cover branding, we cover the website, day 3, social media. A whole day dedicated to social media?
An entire day, because we create 365 posts in one day. I knew that would make you stop your coffee.
Seems like a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot. But it's so worth it. I'll work with a business and we'll determine what their ideal posting times are. We'll look at their analytics from their previous Facebook, you know, information, or maybe if they don't, if they've ever had a Facebook page or if they've never had any other kind of social media accounts for their business, we will kind of pull on what we know from the general industry that they're in. There's a lot of information on that kind of stuff. You can even Google it if you needed to, but we've done so many different industries. We know pretty much what times and posting times are best. And then also how many days to post, because some industries, I know the thing is like, you should be posting 3 times a day here and 10 times a day there. I actually don't subscribe to that. I do what's called algorithm-proof social media. We go around the algorithm. It's completely not there. We ignore it completely because it's going to change every 5 minutes, and there's no way that business, small business owners can keep up with that unless the or your only job is to keep up with the algorithm, which most small business owners, they do other things. So I just developed algorithm-proof, and I said, you know what? We're going to ignore it completely. We're going to do what your clients and your audience needs from you, not what Facebook tells you to do. And also, we're going to put out content that you're already putting out that you don't even realize you're creating. And a lot of that content comes from what are the 5 or 6 questions you get every single day that you answer every single day. For example, the one you just mentioned about nonprofits being able to sell on their websites. That's a great post. And we could actually make that into a post, and we could actually put that on your Facebook page or any of your other social media accounts probably at least 2 times a month. And no one would get sick of it. And I can tell you why, because the algorithm wouldn't show the same post to the same people more than once. So the great thing about it is we can repeat ourselves and no one's going to know the difference. And I actually repeat myself on my social media. I have the same 6 questions that rotate every 6 weeks. And what I found is someone will see the first question and it will say something about what can you outsource in your business? That's one of my questions. And they'll see it the first time and it'll come around the first 6 weeks and they'll go, you know, I don't know. I don't think I can outsource anything. I have to think about that. And then next week, 6 weeks, it'll come back around and they'll go, I really should think about outsourcing some things. You know, I remember seeing that before and it seems like I need to do something about that. I really want to, okay, I'm going to research it. So they get really into the researching. 6 weeks go by, comes back around. They comment and they say, I've thought about outsourcing my invoicing and my bookkeeping. Does anybody know a great bookkeeper or someone who's a VA that does this? So now they've commented, they're engaging, they're asking for help. The sixth or seventh time it comes around, they're like, I just hired my first bookkeeper. I just hired my first VA. So I think that repeating things, it's not that the person is going to see it multiple times and get bored and say, oh, she always says the same thing. It's bringing them along a journey. It's helping them to realize what they want to do and need to do. Or sometimes, like I said, they don't see the post, so they don't even know it's the same. And then the other piece of it is you have new people coming in all the time. You might have posted something amazing 6 months ago, but I'm new. I don't know that you posted that amazing thing 6 months ago, and it's probably something I need to know about or new people should know about. So that should come back around on a regular basis. So that's what we do with social media. We create a content calendar in the morning. Then we fill the content calendar before and after lunch. And then right after that, we fill the schedule, and now it's all scheduled in and you don't have to touch it literally for a whole year if you didn't want to.
Now, there's a lot of things that I do and that I know, and I don't need to be told a lot of things, but occasionally I do need to be reminded. And so I think that's good on a 6 week cycle, especially. I've got a friend of mine that has his standard 5 questions for a week that he puts on repeat. So you get the same questions every week. I think that's maybe just a little much, but 6 weeks is definitely doable and makes a lot of sense. Do you schedule like directly through Facebook, or do you use a third-party app like Hootsuite or something else?
Yeah, I use third-party apps. There's a couple that I really like, and I have them on. I have a free toolkit on my website, and it's all the tools that I've vetted and that I use. And so if anybody wants that, I have every single tool listed, what I use it for, how I use it. Sometimes I tell what I integrate it with so that it works better. And it's just a very succinct set of tools. So I have that on my website if anybody wants to know what tools I use.
Here's the deal. We're totally going to get that website. We're going to put it in the show notes so anyone listening can go click on that tool link and then drop Elizabeth a hey, thanks, love the toolkit. You did a great job on Travis's show, obviously outshining the host, which is definitely what we prefer here. So that's day 3, social media. Day 4 is blogging. Now, blogging can be a scary word, right? People are like, how often do I have to blog? How long does it have to be? Do I have to do it every day, every week? Is this something that you outsource? And it's scary to some people. I'm sure you have a different take on it, though.
We write 12 months of blog posts in one day.
How do you do all this stuff in a day? Am I doing my days wrong? I can't even
You never know.
On time to go for a bike ride, you're writing a whole year's worth of content in a single day?
Yep. So the way we do that, and the first question I always ask when people, they shy away from this one, like you said, because they're not, I'm not a writer. I don't know how to write. I'm not good at that stuff. I tell them, or I ask them, can you write 9 sentences? Can you, Travis, can you write 9 sentences?
I have a degree on my wall that says I can write 10 sentences.
Okay, that is perfect. I will take it. You are hired. So I asked that they can write 9 sentences. And the reason I asked that is because if you wanted to write a bare minimum blog post, like if you literally had nothing in your mind and you couldn't even think of what to say, you're going to write 3 sentences to open, 3 sentences of the meat, and 3 sentences to close. That is 9 sentences. You can do that. It takes about 10 minutes if you want to do it correct. Like you want to just get it done. Now, most people have more than 9 sentences in their mind. Most people have more than enough to say about a subject. They just don't know which subject or how they should present it or what the title should be. And then that's where they get stuck. So what I tell them is we actually write all the titles first. So we write 12 to 24 titles. It's up to them how many they want to do, once a month or twice a month. And once we've written all the titles, I start in on the graphics. I am there creating a graphic for every single one of those titles. It's going to be awesome. It's going to stand out. They can use it on social. They can use it on Pinterest. They can use it everywhere. So once I'm creating the graphics, I'm recreating a graphic. They're writing a post. And it might be 5 tips to this, 3 ways to that, the only, you know, whatever you'll ever need, that kind of stuff, right? Then we actually, some of those titles, you know, that we actually write are questions. Like, can a nonprofit sell on their website?
Imagine the SEO on that.
Exactly. And the thing is, Google is not a search engine anymore. It's a question engine. Ooh. And that is where all of the SEO is going. And I know this from some very top level sources. So don't tell anybody. But it's a question engine. And so if we write our blog posts as questions, like I said, we've got those 10 questions that we get asked every single day that we already know are going to be sourced and read about and looked for. And, you know, people are going to be out there having these same questions. If we can make those questions into a blog post, we have just upped our SEO. So now we don't really, I kind of consider, we don't really have to do SEO now because we've just done it. We have to, that's our SEO, that's our blogging. And we've also created something we're going to send out in an email every single month. And it's going to be posted on our social every single month. What more could you ask for at a blogging? I mean, it's like this one shot and you get all these great benefits from it.
What I like about your system and what you're talking about is you break it down so even a Navy flyer can understand. I think most people get bogged down in the overthinking. And if they overthink too long, then they think, well, am I worth it? And they get bogged down in this imposter syndrome. It's like, who am I to put out answers to these questions? Who am I to do this? Who am I to do that? Fun fact and a little secret for all my listeners out there, even CEOs of top 100 corporations feel the same way. So don't feel bad at all if you're like, well, I'm new. Should I start this? I don't know. I'm not as experienced as the next person. Oh, I've been doing branding for a year. Oh, Elizabeth's doing it for 13 years. Maybe I shouldn't start. That doesn't make any sense. You're going to have a different perspective than Elizabeth. I have a different perspective than most nonprofit consultants. I show you ways to fundraise without ever talking to a donor. What? What do you mean? You don't have to talk to donors. Not if you don't want to. There's ways of raising money without ever meeting a single person or telling them about your mission if you don't want to. But it's not about me. This one's about Elizabeth. So blogging day 4, and there's still things to do that you have. You've had 32 hours worth of content and building, and we still have something to do on day 5? What do we do on day 5?
Email marketing. So we'll decide if there's 2 ways you can go with email marketing. We're going to hook up your website to it so you have the opt-in all set up, right? Because that's going to be sent out through an email. We're going to set up the blog so that it will get automatically sent out. You don't have to touch it. It's just going to go, right? All the blogs are scheduled into the website. They're just going to get sent out in an email automatically. Then the one of 2 ways you can go with email marketing is you can send an email every single month. For some of my product-based businesses and some of my service-based businesses, this makes a lot of sense. cyclical businesses, maybe your HVAC, maybe your personal trainer, there's going to be those times where you're like, hey, it's, you know, coming up to Christmas season, we're going to do a quick boot camp, like, you know, things that you know are coming up. Maybe it's the spring and then the HVAC guy's like, hey, we want to make sure that your air conditioner is ready for summer. You know, they know when those things are happening. Maybe it's a product-based business and they say, oh, it's going to be Mother's Day in 2 weeks. You should get your, you know, flowers or whatever. So there's those things that, like, every month we could find something to send a little quick, hey, don't forget, hey, remember we're here, just a touch point out. But if you don't need that and you're not sure what you would want to send in that, and it's not something that would work for your business specifically, then what we do instead is we create a welcome funnel. So we take that opt-in and we attach a funnel to it. So now that they've got this opt-in, you're going to touch back to them and say, like, a week later and say, hey, how's it going? Did you read the opt-in? How's it working for you? What can we improve? You know, and you're going to kind of keep touch pointing them for maybe 3 to 4 weeks as this long funnel to work with them, to offer them other things, to encourage them and whatever it is you were giving them. Maybe it's the recipe book and you want to say, hey, here's another recipe we found, or send us your recipes, things like that to get them engaged and involved. So it depends on what your opt-in is. It depends on how your funnel would go, but they're kind of tied in together. The other thing we can do is, it's kind of a third way, but it's kind of a funnel as well. For some of my people who I've worked with who are pastors or authors, they've actually ended up saying, well, we have, you know, these devotionals we've written for our churches or our Bible study groups. They might have 52 devotionals. So we'll literally set up as their opt-in, instead of writing something separate, their opt-in would be, join this list and you will actually get 52 weeks of encouragement from this person or that person, or 52 weeks of tips on small business or on nonprofits or whatever. And it's just a simple email. It's not a blog post. It's not something that's going to be anywhere else. They can only get this information from this funnel. And it's a 52-week funnel or a 27-week funnel or whatever you want it to be. And we will create that and build that out. And most of the time, like I mentioned, they have this content kind of already there somewhere in their business, but they are going to bring it forward and we're going to use it for the funnel.
I like that. I like that you can set up these things that are going to run automatically. So when you get a new person on your email list, you don't have to go figure out what you're going to tell them. You already have this thing set up. It's going to run in the background and you don't have to do it. It's the hands-off approach. And if you're a nonprofit, you ain't got time for all that stuff anyway. You got too many other things to do. You got to call these donors. You haven't talked to me to figure out how to not call them if you don't want to. This hasn't been released yet at the time of this recording. But when this recording is released, people have heard this from a guest, Brady Josephson. He does all the research for nonprofits. He'll go in and he'll pull donor stats and this and that. And it's all in the show, episode 48. Brady Josephson talks about donors are most likely to become monthly recurring donors between 10 and 14 days after first contact. So the first time they talk to you about your stuff, the first time they get on your email list, the first time they visit your page, you've got essentially a 2-week window to get them on board as a monthly recurring donor. Do you, Elizabeth, set up a funnel or a email campaign, drip campaign, I think it's called, for nonprofits to get that monthly recurring donations within the first 2 weeks?
Yes, that's definitely something that we could do as well. You know, we've done so many different ones. They've had so many different nuances, but it's definitely something that could be the focus of any type of funnel or, like you said, drip campaign. So we would have that welcome email. Maybe they would get something free like that, you know, opt-in. And then we would have another 2 or 3 emails that would go out through the next 2 or 3 weeks and try to get that, you know, business, so to speak, or that donation, and really giving those statistics and sharing stories and things like that to really, you know, make sure that that makes as much of an impact as possible in those first 2 weeks. So yeah, I definitely have done that stuff in the past. And you know, with businesses and nonprofits, because again, with businesses, if they've purchased something low dollar or like $27 or free, then they're more likely to purchase in those first 2 weeks as well. So that kind of holds true for both. But yeah, definitely those are some great funnel options as well.
Now, all of this sounds great, fantastic, and amazing, but I'm a new nonprofit and I'm scared that I don't have the ability to do this stuff. I mean, are you going to help me through this process, or is it, I mean, does anyone not make it through the week with you?
I haven't had that happen yet. We usually I kind of say, you know, like the old shows, they used to say they always get their man. Well, I always get my brand. So we'll always get through it. We'll always get what we need out of it. And, you know, as far as like the pricing and everything for nonprofits, I've really tried to look at the way they work and how they need to be served instead of saying, hey, here's my pricing. This is too bad. That's the way it is. So I've looked at the way they need to be served. And one of the things we've done with our pricing for nonprofits is we've chosen to go a percentage route. So if a nonprofit made $30,000 last year in their 990, then a tax form, then we're going to charge them 4% of that. And we hope that they're going to actually grow next year. We hope that our efforts for the year are going to grow them. We're hoping that next year they'll be bigger and they'll have more and they'll need more from us. And so then that 4% will grow as well. So there's lots of different ways we help, but that 4% is just our way of saying, we believe in your mission. We believe in what you're doing. This is what we're charging you. And we're going to give you as much of our time as we can to make that happen so you can grow for next year.
That's fantastic. But what happens on day 6 when they have questions about something that's happened? How do they... You know, what are the follow-on services? I mean, you help build the website. Do they have access to you to update different things? Or is that part of the teaching process? Do you show them how to do updates on your own? Or are they coming back to you for all the stuff?
Well, with the nonprofits, they're actually automatically enrolled into our monthly maintenance program. So we will actually help them every month. It's part of their 4%, and they basically have access to us for a certain number of hours per month. And they, all that's, you know, discussed up front and everything, but they'll get that many hours per month for an entire year. And that 4% covers the whole year. So, you know, if that 4% is, you know, $4,000, you know, you're only paying a little bit each month and you're getting all the hours you need most of the time. When you're a smaller nonprofit, you don't need as much, but we're there to help and we're there to build everything out. And you get all those hours per month. So anything you need, maybe Giving Tuesday's coming up and you want to do a campaign, we're going to be there to help. Maybe you need to change something on your website. We can be there to fix it or change it. Maybe you want to run, you're doing a fundraiser and you want to put the links on your website or put out some social media posts. We're there to add those for you as well. So the nonprofit side of it, we really try to be more comprehensive. We do quarterly calls with the directors, make sure everything's running smoothly. We'll help do delegation. If they have people that they're wanting to work with them or who are, you know, helping them on the back end, on behind the scenes, we'll actually help and say, hey, we'll work with that person so the director can be free to do the other things they need to. So we're really flexible with that, but we try to make sure that this is a very comprehensive program. With my small businesses, I'm a little bit more hands-off. It's like, this is the price, and I'm here to help you if you want to be on our maintenance program or whatnot, because I want to kind of push them out of the nest. I want them to fly on their own. But with the nonprofits, I feel like they need a little more care and feeding. They need a little more TLC along the way because they are only one person. Whereas with the small businesses, they grow, they hire. That's how they work. But with nonprofits, it's they grow, they get more volunteers, which means more management, which means more time and more money. So, you know, that kind of thing, we want to be there to help in a different way.
That's amazing. I love that. A, that you're so succinct with what you do, that you have business pricing and you understand the different challenges that nonprofits might face, and you're helping them along the way. There are so many people out there that have this great mission, this great vision, this desire to help, and they start a nonprofit, but they don't know how to run a business. They don't know how to run a nonprofit. They don't know that those two are almost the same thing. They have no idea about most of those details, so they're trying to figure out everything every day. Their list is forever long and growing every day. They do 1, 2, or 5 things, and they're more behind on the other 35 things on their list than they thought they were going to be. And it's so nice to talk to someone that has that kind of care, that kind of desire to make sure that nonprofits are getting what they need, even though they might not have the same amount of money as someone else. I want to hear some wins. Tell me some client wins that you've had recently that are doing great things.
Well, we had a client that we worked with. We did the 5 days with them, and we finished their email marketing campaign. We sent out their first one that day, and the next day they had already brought in $20,000 from donations. People were kind of waiting to hear from them. The director just didn't have time. She just was so strapped, like you said. There was so many things she was doing, and just that email just brought in so much for them and really helped her to realize that just reaching out on a regular basis was going to give her more connection with them and also bring in more for what she was trying to accomplish rather than her always putting, she was putting in money and subsidizing everything. And it was because she wanted to, but at the same time, she had people also willing to help. She just didn't really know they were there. You know, she knew, but she didn't really reach out to them. So this is a great way to really get everything synced and like together. Her website was working, you know, the donation button is working. And sometimes that happens too. We go to these websites and the donation button doesn't work. Well, then how are you supposed to get donations? You know, I'm not going to write a check. I don't even have checks. You know, I'm a millennial. So, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, getting, you know, I've seen so many nonprofits come to us with no money. Like I had one client, she started with, I think she had 50,000 was her first year. And a lot of it was her and her family and her friends putting in that money to get this thing started. And we did the process with them. We're working with them this whole year through 2020. And her goal for Giving Tuesday this year is to bring in 40,000. And I'm like, we can do it. You know, we're working on the process now because we start early. You know, we're talking about Giving Tuesday now. That's in November, mm-hmm. in December. So so we're trying to work with her, and she's been having such great success this year, even through COVID. We have another nonprofit we work with that was, again, doing that fundraiser, and she ended up pivoting and going online, and that helped a lot. And we were able to help promote that through, you know, our services and getting that onto her social media and her website and sending out emails. And so yeah, we've had a lot of our nonprofits just do really well, even during and despite some things that have been happening kind of around us. They've been able to grow and thrive, and in our small businesses as well, but really the nonprofits I've seen grow a lot this year.
You touched on something in that last 2 minutes that I didn't want you, we glossed over, it was right at the beginning, but we need to go back. You have fans out there that are waiting to hear from you, that are excited, that they're bought in to your mission and what you're doing, and they're just waiting for you to ask them something. This is a two-way street here. You spend all of your time giving. You spend all of your time blessing other people. You have to allow others to bless you. Don't rob them of that blessing. Don't rob them of the opportunity to help you when they want to help you. And just because you're asking for help doesn't mean you're some kind of sickly being that's, you know, unworthy or whatever else. And asking for help doesn't mean you're incapable, right? There's just not enough hours in the day to do what we all need to do. You know, how am I supposed to run a business and have a full-time job and still, oh, by the way, be a husband and a father and, you know, maybe care about my fitness and get some food in. And I can remember to call Elizabeth to encourage her to do whatever. I mean, she's a pretty energetic self-starter. She doesn't need a whole lot of encouragement from me. But, I mean, there's no way we can keep up with all of these things that are always there, that are always demanding in our time. You cannot rob the opportunity for someone to bless you. Elizabeth, this has been fantastic. I'm so glad we did this morning. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you?
They can visit getabsolutemarketing.com. That's our business side. There's a nonprofit button there if they want to switch over. And our nonprofit website is beyondthecause.co. And has all the nonprofit information, but you can get to that through getabsolutemarketing.com as well.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure this morning talking to you.
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun. And anytime you want to have me back, let me know.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.